This is Sean with Voices of SAE, and I'm speaking to a gentleman that is down in Kentucky, Brandon Elliott. How you doing?
I am fantastic. I'm using this as an excuse to not mow my yard right now, so this is perfectly fine.
That's great. All right, so what year were you born and in what city?
I was born right here in Mount Sterling, Kentucky in 1982, and I've been in and out of Kentucky ever since.
What pledge class year and fall spring were you for SAE?
I was fall of 2001, and I was a Gamma Delta.
Okay. All right, so let's kind of keep it from the beginning. So what high school did you go to get down there?
I went to just Montgomery County High School, a local public school here in Mount Sterling. This is where my entire family is from. Parents went to the exact same high school I went to, except for maybe a couple of coats of paint. It was just, you know, the typical small town thing you see in the movies. You could see the farmland from out the English class window and everything. It was a tiny town, and enjoying it to this day.
All right, so what type of activities did you get involved with in high school? Sports, community related, whatever.
I played soccer a lot. Did soccer for darn near 19 years of my life, but I've been in high school, obviously played varsity here. Played baseball for a little bit, but kind of fell out of that so I could focus more on soccer. And did a little drama, a little theater here and there as well.
Okay. So what's your current career? What's your industry that you work in?
I like to use the word current because that's definitely apropos. My degree was in communications, electronic media production, or at Ball State called it TCOM, telecommunications. So I started out actually as a radio DJ. I did that for just under 8 years and ended up actually working for Clear Channel, what is now iHeartRadio. Helped actually set up that app, the iHeart Radio app that became the juggernaut media corporation that it is. Helped set that up regionally, just kind of helped, you know, program certain things into it. I'm not responsible for the app. I take no credit for it. I kind of helped get it together over here. And the economy did what it did back in about 2010, and they just finally had to lay me off. And at that point, I kind of thought, what in the world am I going to do anymore? Because this is all I know. This is what I was went to school for, what I was trained to do, and I actually did a stint as a computer salesman for Best Buy, just trying to make ends meet. And I guess I laugh when I say that, but I had a blast working for Best Buy. So anybody out there listening, any of you actives who might be listening, they're, you know, thinking about maybe doing something retail, do it. It's actually a lot of fun. You get to meet some fun people. But I fell into a career in banking. I'm a loan officer for a regional bank here in Kentucky called Whitaker Bank Corporation. So I get to mess with people's money on a daily basis.
And a lot of people have been refinancing a ton over the past
oh, my goodness.
Year, right?
The small business loans right now have kicked my butt. It's just a tsunami of those things. And it's been a really interesting year with the pandemic and everything. It's weird. Like the amount of loans that I did for pools and home improvements and ATVs and campers, because nobody's going on vacation anymore. So like, well, I've always wanted to do this, and I just need this X amount of extra money. Let's go do it. It's been a lot of fun to help people out that way.
Wow. All right. So when you were in high school and you're thinking of what you already know as of now is career, what were some areas of focus, and why did you pick Ball State?
That's also a fun story. I actually, my freshman year of college, I went to a small liberal arts school in Ohio called Denison University. I went there just because it was an affluent school that I thought would look good on job applications and things. I hadn't even really decided what I wanted to do. I just wanted to go there as kind of I went to the such and such school, you know, and that was a huge mistake. I legitimately regretted a lot of my time there. Other than my girlfriend and my roommate, I genuinely can't tell you a single person that I met there. I just did not have a good time at all. So I ended up transferring out. And I left that school 3 weeks before class was going to start. I just decided, you know what? I'm going to bite the bullet. I don't want to do this anymore. And I thought I was going to have to take a semester off. I thought I was going to have to Because it was so close, I didn't know if I was going to make it or not. And this is going to date me, but I met a girl in a chat room. And it was, I just found this chat room on America Online, and that's how far back this is. And they were talking about, it was a room about colleges. I'm going to be a freshman here. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And I was just kind of observing. And finally I said, all right, well, let me see what people say. And I said, hey, I'm looking for, a school so far away from my house that I can get back if I need to, but, yada, yada, yada. And this random person starts talking to me about Ball State, and this happened to be this young lady who was going to be a theater major. So we, I had a little bit of theater. We had a connection there. And so she was coming back from Florida 2 days later for visiting family in Florida. We actually met up in Lexington, Kentucky, got on the interstate, and I followed her all the way back to Muncie. And she showed me around campus. She was already admitted and had her schedule and everything. She showed me around campus and took me to the admissions office, and I filled out an old school, hard copied admissions application and submitted it right there. And got admitted that day. I don't know if anybody's ever got a decision that quickly, but maybe because I was there in front of them. Hey, I need a place to go, and they said, "Yeah, you'll do. You're Ball State material. Come on in." And so they admitted me there. So the young lady, she said, "Well, you can stay with me in my apartment on the couch. True gentleman and all, slept on the couch." And until we get everything situated. So we actually, she went with me in my Nissan Xterra back to a little bit south of Cincinnati, where I met my mother and my grandmother, who had two carloads full of my stuff. We shoved everything into my Xterra, went back to Muncie, Indiana, slept that night, got up the next morning, went and got my schedule and my books. And they couldn't give me a housing assignment until the next day, which was a Sunday. I got my housing assignment at Schmidt Wilson in the honors dorm, because that was the only place left. So I felt, I don't know, privileged, I guess. Is that the word the kids use these days? And then got up that Monday morning, went to class. All of that happened in the space of about 5 days.
That is the craziest story I've heard. I mean, legit, like, everybody else has a plan, and they like go for the long plan, and some puzzle pieces might fall into place as, oh yeah, and my so-and-so's brother, and they went, and but that's crazy. All right, so who was your first connect? What was the path to SA?
My first connection to SA is actually my father. My father was an SA at Morehead State University here in Kentucky.
Okay.
And then his younger brother, my uncle, was an SA at the University of Kentucky. So they both had talked to me about fraternity life most of my life. When I got to Ball State, I ended up just kind of messing around for a few days with my roommates and other people on my floor, and somehow I wanted to rush. I wanted to take a look at it, because I talked to some SEs at Denison, the other school, but they just everything just wasn't really for me there. So I wanted to rush. It was something I wanted to do because my dad and my uncle talked it up all my life, and I somehow missed the kind of orientation or rush event thing they do. Everybody kind of showed up in one big room in the student center and, went around to, from booth to booth and just sort of signed up and gave out your information. I somehow missed that. And to this day, I don't really remember how that happened. And I was really concerned about that. I thought, oh, no, I'm not going to be able to do this now, and I'm going to be too old or something later, because I was already in my second year. So I just kind of took it upon myself to go just wander around and start knocking on doors down on Riverside. I went to the Phi Delta house and talked to them for a little bit. Those guys were nice. And Delta wouldn't talk to me. Don't know what that was about. The Betas were cool, and Sigma Pis were cool. Sigma Chi's, excuse me, were cool. And then that weekend ended up down at the University of Kentucky for a football game, because Ball State was actually playing UK, and I went and visited some friends that went to UK and stayed with them just to, wear a Ball State shirt in the middle of the UK student section, try to get on TV. And I ran into a bunch of Sig Eps there, and they were really cool, really nice, and even offered me a ride back. I don't know why. I mean, I drove myself. And so I remember calling my dad while I was at UK that weekend. I said, I'm thinking about doing this, thinking about doing that. I don't really know. And I met some sick eps, and they're pretty cool too. And he said, Brandon, you have to go where your heart leads you. You have to go with the house you think is going to be best for you. But I'm going to go ahead and tell you that if you rush sick up, I'm disowning you. So that got them out of the running. And if that Sunday or Monday when I got back, I made it to the SAE house and I just knocked on the door. And it was like, it might have been the week before the rush events actually started. I made it to the SAE house, knocked on the door, and a guy named Brad Bagley answered the door. And he's like, can I help you? Like, who are you? and I said, I missed the rush event. I just wanted to try to meet some people. And he goes, oh, okay, well, yeah, come on in. And he passed me off to a guy named Chad Landrum. Chad Landrum, I think Landrum was a Gamma Beta, I believe is what he was. Landrum had just got out of the shower. And literally, Bagley cornered him in the hallway on the first floor there and said, hey, this is Brandon. Can you give him a quick tour? He's thinking about Russia. And Landrum is standing there in a towel, soaking wet. And he's like, yeah, sure. So I got a tour of the SAE house from top to bottom from a guy wearing a bath towel. And at some point, you're probably going to go, well, you chose this house? Yeah, I did. I think these guys seem like they were pretty laid back. Why not? And I was a legacy, so I kind of, let's be honest, I had a bit of a foot in the door. And that was it. I just kind of, everybody there that day was super nice. And when they found out, my story about how I got there and everything, it was like, yeah, we did this. This is really cool. We just had talked about stuff. And I decided that's what I wanted to do. I was going to follow in the family's footsteps.
All right. So how long was your pledge ship?
Long enough. I think it was about 9 or 10 weeks. At the time, they said it was one of the shortest ones they'd had in a while, which suited me just fine. And it was a lot of fun. We started out with about 20 guys and ended with, I think, 8.
Okay.
So it was interesting.
All right. So what's, like, when you first kind of got inducted into the house and you're doing stuff in pledge ship, like, what's some of the, let's keep it not R-rated, but, you know, within the lines, what's some of the more funner moments that you realize that these guys are really cool and this is really cool bonding or this funny situation happened, but some of the earlier memories, basically?
Basically, in the beginning, every villain the whole way through, but it was like this from the very beginning. Every guy was open. The door was open. If you needed help with something, if you wanted to talk about something, if you just, you know, hey, what's going on? I'm going to come sit in here and watch this brand new show called Around the Horn with you. You know, yeah, come on in. We sit there, and even if you didn't say anything, it was just a place to be, and everybody just was always so happy to be around each other. And I know there are some times, you know, that you don't get along with some guys. It's a family. It is what it is. You're not going to get along with everybody, but everybody would never turn anybody else away. And I noticed that from the very beginning. I even saw guys getting into arguments about various things, but 10 minutes later, they were, you know, sitting in the library or out in the front yard doing whatever, like it was nothing, you know. And I really liked that. I liked that family aspect of it. I guess one of the stories that sticks out in my head from the very beginning of Cludship, it was our first, well, I guess you start at the very beginning. The guys, a couple of guys came to get me out of my dorm at about 2 in the morning on the night they gave us our bids, you know. So they, hey, come downstairs. Okay. So I come downstairs and, you know, I'm in just some Adidas shorts and flip flops and a t-shirt, and they're standing there in their hoodies with their hoods drawn up. I'm like, oh goodness. and then they get me in a car. It was Andy Bird's car, a big old Lincoln Continental, just one of those boat cars. It's got 8 miles of hood in the front, you know, and 4 more miles of trunk in the back, Lincoln Continental. And they just sit me in the back, and it's kind of like a scene from The Departed or something. There's two dudes on either side of me, and we're all just quiet. One of the driver, Andy, he turns around, he says, we're going for a ride. And my eyes got real big because my father told me a story once how when he was a pledge, he got taken out of his dorm, and that's what the actives told him. We're going for a ride. And Morehead State University, where he pledged, is in the middle of nowhere. It's in the middle of mountains. And they drove him out into the middle of nowhere and gave each of them a match, a cigarette, and then two other things that we're not going to talk about because we want to keep it PG, and said, see you in the meeting tomorrow, and left them. And so that's immediately where my head went. Like, oh, my God, I'm about to be driven out to a cornfield somewhere, and said, you better be in the meeting tomorrow or you're not in, or something like that. But that didn't happen. They took me to the house, and there was a bunch of other guys I remember from the Rush event there, and we're all just kind of standing around. None of us really know what's going on because everybody's being quiet. And they get us out in the front yard and introduce everybody to everybody. Okay, this is Brandon Elliott. He's, you know, going to be a member of Gamma Delta, and they give you a bid and everything. And then they did the hidey-tidey, which none of us knew what that was, so that scared the poop out of us too. And, you know, handshakes all around. Would you like to stick around and have a beverage? And then they took us back to our dorm. I made it back to my dorm room at about 3 o'clock that morning. That was on September the 11th, 2001.
Wow.
So I woke up later on that morning to a million phone calls. Wow. From my mother and my father and everything else and everything going on. So my bid sheet actually says September 11th, 2001. And that kind of put a hold for a couple of days on what we were going to do.
Sure.
Because they had to kind of figure everything else out. So that's in the very beginning, that's what happened. And then we had our first actual meeting as pledges maybe a week later. And met our pledge trainer, a guy named Rob Haywood. He was also a guy that transferred in. Somebody I would recommend you talk to if you can get a hold of him. And Seth Pippin, they were our pledge trainers. And we had our first meeting, and then we got to actually go sit down in the active meeting as like a courtesy or whatever for the first night. And as soon as the active meeting was over, they gaveled the adjournment, and all of a sudden everybody jumped up and charged Rob Haywood and tackled him, stripped him naked, and treat him right there in the basement. And again, none of us as pledges had any idea what was going on. And they, you know, found everything up in the kitchen that had been left over, and just, well, they treat the guy.
Right.
And we didn't know what any of this was. And all of a sudden, they cut him loose. And again, we still don't, he just starts chasing everybody around. It's just a madhouse at that point. All 20 of the pledges, just scattered all over, rats all over the place. A bunch of us just charged out of the house. Me and one other guy ended up across the street in the bushes at the bait house because we didn't know what was going on. We're just freaking out. Like, this is just animal house all over the place. And Haywood just steps out on the front porch, covered in unspeakableness, in his birthday suit, and is just yelling to the darkness, "What did I do?" And that was my first official SAE engagement right there.
That's hilarious. All right, so well, let's rephrase this. If you were going to explain just the overall experience to an incoming freshman that you went through, you know, obviously there was a ton of other memories, but what do you think's the most important thing about how it really, not just the bonding and the fun, but how it really prepared you for life after school, and then what's maybe one or two situations of you bonding with SAEs after college?
I think one of the things that SAE taught me was maturity. I mean, I know that sounds kind of stupid. If some of the guys that know me hear this, you know, yeah, right. But it really kind of makes you, it makes you independent in the sense that you have to work. I guess independent's not the word. It makes you a team player. The exact opposite of independent. You have to work with your brothers to achieve certain goals, to do certain things. And like I said before, you may not always get along with everyone, but you all have the same goals. You have the same direction in mind, and that's a business. I mean, that's a business in a nutshell. You're going to be, you know, you're thrown into a pool of people that some of you guys are going to hit it off right away, and some of you won't. But you have the same goals, and you're looking to better each other out of it. And so you learn to that is the point of all this, is to make each other better. And there's a lot of satisfaction in there. There's a lot of attaboy and pat on the back and just self gratification, quite frankly, in you helping your brother or you and your brother's helping somebody else to do something. And as a, I don't know, I never really done a lot of stuff like that. And it made me feel really good. It really showed me service and how well that's received and how well it makes you feel to do that. So I think the advice I might give an incoming pledge is to listen. That every single thing that the actives are going to tell you, every single thing that somebody older than you here is going to tell you, is not random. Well, for the most part, I mean, it depends. If you're standing next to the keg, then it probably is random. But anything that they're going to tell you, like when you're getting a signature, anything that they're going to tell you in a meeting, anything they're going to tell you at some sort of event that they're helping you out, it's all there's a purpose to everything. And sometimes it's veiled, sometimes it's overt. You just have to be able to take that in. I think a good anecdote for that, and I apologize, I'm a bit of a storyteller. When I left Ball State, I actually ended up at Morehead State, where my father was an SAE. And it was, I had to leave Ball State because basically I ran out of money, and I had scholarship money sitting in Kentucky that I wasn't using like an idiot. So I had to take advantage of that. But anyway, I ended up being a pledge educator at Kentucky Gamma here in Kentucky at Morehead State University. And my pledges, you know, had to carry around a little bag, which, you know, they wouldn't be allowed to do nowadays because they would consider that, inappropriate. But, you know, it had some random stuff in it. You know, they had their pledge book and, you know, a quarter and a cigarette lighter and a pack of gum, stuff like that. And one night I remember asking the pledges and I being like, do you guys know why you carry your bag around? And so, well, in case an active needs something, like, okay, well, yeah, but that's not really why. Why do you carry this bag full of stupid stuff around? And they all just kind of looked around because they thought that's what it was. It was just, well, in case an active, you know, wants something, and that way I don't have to, you know, run and go get something. And I said, it's responsibility. Because if we can't, you know, we want to trust you guys with the future of this chapter in this house. And if we can't trust you with a bag full of dumb stuff, how are we going to trust you going forward? And it's just an example of a little thing that may not click right away, if it doesn't click right away, there's a purpose to it. And just to circle back to it, there is a purpose to every single activity, word, phrase, page in the Phoenix, all of it. Some of it is hidden. Some of it's extremely overt, in your face. You just have to be able to take it.
That's awesome. That's great, man. That's, you know, it's crazy how everybody gets different aspects of the experience and how it changes them and makes them better and whatnot. But you really don't get it when you're there. You get it a lot later. You get it when...
Exactly.
When you know, you meet somebody in an airport in, you know, Zaire or wherever, and you strike a conversation, you happen to be from the same fraternity and different schools or wherever, but you still have that same knowledge and you still have that same... You know,
uh-huh.
Experience to be able to go, you know, we went through it. So, yeah, that's huge. Is there anything else you'd like to add before we close this out?
Just thank you all very much for doing what you do and being a part of SAE, to the actors up there at Indiana Zeta. You know, I didn't finish up there, but it's still a big, big part of my life. I have some wonderful memories there, and I want you guys to be able to cultivate some memories like that. Maybe don't get them on video. I may or may not have some of those. But, you know, it is a fantastic experience. You're going to learn a lot more than you realize. And like Sean just said, you probably are not going to realize a lot of what you've learned from SAE wherever you end up. Even if you end up at a different chapter like I did, you're not going to learn, or you're not going to understand a lot of it, or even realize what you learned, rather, until later. And when it hits you, it's kind of like a ton of bricks. It's, oh, that's what we did that. I remember that. I remember we did this. And then a million memories flood back. And it's just fantastic. And so just take in every single thing you can, listen to everybody older than you, because there is a purpose to a lot of stuff they say, and they're going to make you better for it, I promise.
Phi Alpha.
Phi Alpha, sir. I appreciate what you're doing too, Sean. This is a great idea. Thank you for doing this for all of us.
You got it. We'll just stay on the line, and I'm going to close this one out.
Roger that.